This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning. The Montgomery County Baseball Tournament, a week from today. And then the Montgomery County Alumni Baseball. Is it a tournament or a game?
It's a tournament.
Kind of a tournament, yeah.
Two weeks from
and,
today.
By the way, Mike texted me this week to get on the air. Deadline for T-shirt orders, if you want a T-shirt and you're going to play in the game, is the 22nd. So we need to know by April 22nd if you want a T-shirt.
Which is, Wednesday?
Yes, Wednesday? That's Wednesday, yes. Okay. Yeah,
the Wednesday. Game will be Sunday, May 3rd,
yep.
So 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Yeah. A week after the county.
A week after the county.
Last year
and, of course, proceeds
day.
Go to the Montgomery County Cancer Association, yep. So it's turned out to be a kind of an interesting and good fundraiser.
I wonder if there was any movement with getting Duff as the head shaving guy.
I don't know.
You might have just helped move the needle right now.
Yeah. Well, let's see.
Say, but the Roubaix is today, right? Is the Roubaix today?
I think so.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Better start stretching now, though, David.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Get loose. You only got a couple weeks to stretch
out. Well, I
got to
coach a baseball camp today, so maybe I'll try to get
Dave,
some work in.
Hillsborough, your hospital. Okay?
Yeah.
Team rehab, it works. I can vouch for that.
Well, okay. Good.
So we are looking.
We'll get Melissa in here.
Yes.
So I have a place to go warm up and then a place to go afterwards when I can't move.
That's good.
When you can't move.
That's good.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
So we are looking forward very much to the Montgomery County Baseball Tournament coming up next Saturday. Of course, we had baseball on the radio finally this week. Got a couple games on the radio.
Yeah. How about you
were in Lincolnwood in the middle part of the week.
Yeah, and Nokomis and Lincolnwood squared off, and Nokomis came away with the victory, and Marcus Chaussee got the start, and then Reed Detmers wrapped it up, and Reed struck out 6 of the 9 batters he faced, and he was a real deal. And, of course, Marcus Chaussee at 6'6". It's about like he reaches halfway to the plate before he releases the baseball. You know, one of those big guys. You're going, here it comes.
Is this his first year playing in high school? I don't remember. Did he play last year? I don't remember seeing him play.
I don't remember. That was all of last year, Dave.
That was a long time ago. Yeah. Long time ago.
I'm lucky to have remembered the game from Wednesday, okay?
I remember the game from yesterday for now.
Yeah.
It was the Tyler Hutchinson show yesterday as he got the 5-inning victory. 4-for-4 at the plate as well. Had one rough inning, gave up 2 runs in the second, 3 hits in that inning, and then after that allowed nothing as Greenville won going away 14-2 over Litchfield yesterday. Greenville now 9-4 on the year.
A lot of young kids on Litchfield.
12 freshmen on the roster. They start 3 freshmen, 2 more sophomores in the top 9 for Litchfield as well. And you just knew yesterday, Andy Kassenbaum knew it going into the game as well. This will be a good measuring type of game just because Greenville, senior-laden, of course, such a powerful baseball program. So when you've got a young club like Litchfield does, you go in there, you take your lumps yesterday, but you'll be better for it a year from now, 2 years from now.
Just after the first few weeks of the baseball and softball season, it seems like there's an awful lot of parity amongst the teams around here. Really, no, it's really, really, really super good teams and teams, you know, that are just kind of beating up on each other. And I think that's what we're going to see the remainder of the year. And that makes generally pretty good regionals.
And we will have the seedings shortly.
I think it's
a couple of weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks probably, something like that. First Wednesday of May generally is when they do it. So.
And it's right around the corner.
That May, what, 5th, 6th? 6th, looks like. So
that would be the first Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah.
So Greenville beat Litchfield yesterday 14-2. Vandalia topped Staunton 4-3. Southwestern got past Roxana 2-1. Auburn puts up 15 as they defeat Edinburgh 15-9. Taylorville blanked Pawnee 12-0. And Morrisonville down Springfield Lutheran 14-9. In softball action yesterday, Greenville over Litchfield 9-8. Pena doubled up Hillsborough 4-2. Bunker Hill slipped past Lincolnwood 4-3. Nokomis shut out Edinburgh 12-0. It was Jerseyville 5, Gillespie 4. Staunton 19, Vandalia 1. And Taylorville over Pawnee 9-4. And then in girls soccer action yesterday, Greenville over Hillsborough 7-1. Staunton puts up 19 in a softball game.
Yeah.
Woo!
Mm-hmm. And that's without a penalty hole, you know, on the field.
That's a lot of runs. Baseball, softball, that's a lot of runs.
That's a lot of coloring in the scorebook, isn't it?
That's a lot of hitting.
Yeah. By the way, Monday night, weather permitting, you know, just depends on what the weather does this weekend, but we've got our first softball broadcast scheduled. Mount Olivet, Nokomis. So it'll be fun to get a softball game going on the radio. So.
Man, I'll have 10 players, I think, on their roster. Pretty good team.
Pretty good players, though.
We look at like their basketball team. They had probably about that, maybe a little bit less, but hey, they've got the athletes, and it's not about numbers.
Yeah.
Like Mike Krzyzewski said, 8 is enough.
Yeah.
8 is enough.
There you go. They've got one senior, 2 freshmen, and the rest are sophomores. So 7 sophomores. Matt Olive.
Of course, that sophomore class, they've had success at every level, basically in every sport, all the way through.
They do many things well.
Yes, they do.
So, a chance to see them. Hopefully we get it in.
Weather permitting, of course.
We have the weather here in just a few minutes, but looks like tomorrow is going to be pretty wet.
Yeah.
So
not good.
Yeah.
Not good.
It's springtime. Of course, you're kind of under the gun here, Farmer Tim.
We would like to miss a rain. We would really like
and,
to
miss and save it for July.
That would be excellent.
Where was this in 2012?
Well, we had the rain. Actually, in 2012, strangely enough, the spring was perfect.
Yeah.
Was it like 2013 then?
No, in 2012, we were basically everything was in
by now.
It just didn't rain the entire month of July.
Yeah,
yeah, it
and
was like
August.
And it was 110 degrees every day and 90 at night. Rough. When it's 90 degrees at night, that's just brutal and sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
For everything and everybody. That's not right.
And people forget, and we probably shouldn't be talking about this, but people forget that even corn needs to cool down at night and relax, basically, and regenerate itself. I mean,
that's what they say.
Human sleep, animal sleep, and all this is, plants need a regenerative cycle as well. So
that's absurd.
Science,
just,
David.
They
science.
Just, they should just work all the time.
I'm sorry.
It should just work all the time.
24/7, 365.
Yep. My food's gonna work.
Those are the plants that are near the equator where it's always sunny, like year round and always hot.
David wants his food working for him.
Yes. Yeah.
By golly.
Okay.
I don't blame you. Hey, we'll have the Cardinals on the radio.
Farmer
today.
Dave Jenkins.
That's right. I don't know what type of crazy new food they have at Busch Stadium this year. You see some of these other stadiums that have like the big monstrous
waffle sandwiches.
They got waffle sandwiches.
Waffle sandwiches. Yeah, they've got a few new food items. One of them that I did see though is like, you can get different styles of waffle sandwich, but one I saw was like a barbecue pulled pork on a waffle with coleslaw in the middle, and the waffle serves as the bun.
It's a calorie counter.
Yeah.
It's a calorie counter. I'm watching my figure, but give me the diet, Coke. Give me the diet.
Speaking of food, next week at the county baseball tournament, they'll have the grills fired up, so come hungry.
And, of course, yesterday, the Hillsborough Lions Club, they had their pork patty cookout at the parking lot at C&B with 50% of the proceeds going to the Grace Hirschelman Fund. So hopefully everyone was able to get out and help out there.
And Kay Hirsch is planning to have a soccer all-star game.
I saw that.
And we'll have more on that here as he gets a little bit closer. But he talked to me this week and said, yeah, I think we could make arrangements to have hand the park over to you for a day. Yeah, no problem. So I think that's June 20th.
Very nice.
Yeah. So we'll have more. We'll have more on that.
We need to get to a break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We will come back with more following these messages. Oh, no. I was in the midst on the AM.
The Sports Saturday promo on the AM played, and the music bed came on, and then here we went for this music bed on the FM.
I do what I can to make it confusing.
Absolutely, yes.
And I do a darn fine job.
That's right. It looks like the Doug Rice Show might not be coming through on AM 1540 as it normally should be. So if it is not, you're going to hear Dwight Yoakam guitars and Cadillacs for the next 3 minutes on AM 1540. Then perhaps Doug Rye will return after the break. We shall see.
We don't know.
Who knows?
It's kind of out of our hands.
Yes. We've had that Doug Rye show on
a long time.
Number of years, and very rarely, if at all, does he not show up.
By the way, I want to thank our friends at the Painter Junior High. Had a chance to be at the career day yesterday. Always enjoy that, and thanks to Jody Johnson, my good friend, who keeps inviting me. So we have a good time. Hooked up the broadcast device, and they talked to you while you were on the air there in the first session. And
yes.
So they were kind of impressed with that. I'm going, gee, it works.
Easily impressed.
These are the kids that have all these, electronic devices.
Absolutely.
I bring my stuff in. It's, 20 years old. But it works, hey.
You bring in the same brown bag that I remember you bringing into Bunker Hill Career Day back when I was in high school.
Yes, that's right. Back then, we didn't have a JK Audio. We had probably Gettner's.
I think that's right. Yeah, I can still remember sitting in like career day in high school in the science room watching you like do probably pretty much what
same
you did
thing.
Yesterday. Yeah.
So
now I got my own brown bag.
That's right.
Look at me now.
That's right. Here comes Tim and his bag of goodies.
Oh, boy. Lock the doors.
Oh, yeah. So anyway.
Well, the playoffs in the NHL are underway.
Yeah.
And the Blues are in midseason form. David, I'll let you take it from here, David.
They're good in the middle of the season.
They are.
So they're not in midseason form.
Good point.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
They're among the best teams in the league in the midseason.
We always talk about a lot more in high school basketball about peaking at the right time. You know, you want to be playing your best basketball end of January, rolling into the month of February. It just seems like the Blues can never be playing their best hockey right now. Their best hockey seems to come in January.
It is fantastic because they, and I use that word sarcastically, because they have, this is their fourth straight year making the postseason. And in game one, they look like they had never played a postseason game. They look like they'd never played a hockey game, to be honest. Passes were going off each other's sticks. It was the first goal by the Wild that was scored, it was just a great goal. Nothing you could do about it. Quick wraparound by Zucker. Fantastic goal. Second period started, and they, you know, basically didn't even try to score. Didn't even do anything.
Didn't try to score?
Yeah, that's exactly what they couldn't get the puck in the offensive zone. They had a power play, and the Wild had it in their offensive zone basically the entire time. It was mind-boggling how poorly they played. Finally turned it on in the third period, but it was too late.
Back-to-back 100-point regular seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Went out in the first round last year. You're basically a no-show in game one on your home ice this year. So you immediately put your backs against the wall and find yourself in, I was going to say you find yourself in a must-win game, but maybe not necessarily, because the NHL playoffs, more than any other sport, you see teams come back from 2-0 deficits, from 3-0 deficits, or 3-1. The Blues were up 2-0 last year and lost 4 straight. So it can happen in the NHL playoffs, but if you're the Blues, you do not want to go down 2-0 and then head off to Minnesota.
It's a must-win game. I will say, though, being down 0-1, they're in a lot better position than they were in the last couple of years, being up 2-0 and going to the road, because, I mean, they just – it's amazing how similar last year and the year before was, because they went up 2-0 at home each series and played, you know, overtime games, both of those games, outplayed the opposing team in Game 3 but still lost, then grabbed an early lead in Game 4 and then choked, lost that one, and then never showed up the rest of the series. That was both seasons, last year and the year before, the Blues did this exact same outcome. It was fantastic. It's amazing.
I've always kind of ribbed you and then Tobin before he took off to Florida about kind of the Blues being the Cubs of hockey. But it's really an insult to the Cubs to call the Blues that.
Yeah.
Because the Cubs have at least won a World Series. Yeah. You know, it might have been over 100 years ago, but they have, in fact, done it. The Blues have never won the Stanley Cup.
They've never even won a Stanley Cup Finals game. They got swept twice. Or three times, however many times they were there. They were there at least 2 years in a row and got swept. So
it's hard to really put your finger on what the problem is, because they're obviously
– They've had talent.
Good. Yeah, they've got the talent. They're good. But it just always seems that everything aligns for whatever reason in the playoffs. It just does not go well. They allow so many soft goals.
Yeah.
I was really – me personally – was done with the Blues, and I think it was 99, I guess, the year they had Gretzky.
That was 96, I think.
Was it 96?
Yeah,
you're right, it was. So 96, so I was even younger than I thought I was. Yeah. But when they lost Game 7 of the conference, I think it was the finals, maybe the semifinals, I think it was semifinals,
to
the Red Wings. Either way, Game 7,
Stevie
overtime,
y.
you allow a blue line goal.
Stevie Y.
That's how your season ends?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
That just kind of sums the Blues up to me. It's just always heartbreak.
Yep.
But the fans keep coming back. Great fan base, but... goodness gracious. They just crush the hopes and dreams every single year.
They love playing with us. They love messing with our hearts.
And I would say that maybe Blues fans are more like Cubs fans, just from, this is our year.
Yeah.
This year will be different.
It's
going to be different.
It's so hard because they build us up so much and then let us down every time. And it's, oh my goodness. I can't.
So you're watching today?
I don't know.
The Blues will entertain Minnesota at the 2 o'clock puck drop today, with the Wild leading 1-0. In the Stanley Cup playoffs last night, Montreal defeated Ottawa 3-2 in overtime, so the Canadiens lead that series 2-0. Washington over the Islanders 4-3, that series tied at 1. Nashville, they took care of the Blackhawks last night 6-2. That series also tied a game apiece.
6-2. Crawford's having a if Crawford started, he's having a terrible postseason.
He just needs to play the Blues. Vancouver over Calgary 4-1, and that series also tied at one game apiece. The Stanley Cup playoffs take forever. What will they be over? About middle of September? Right when they wrap up? Before the World Series starts?
They're so exciting, though.
Oh, they are.
Because every game, it's like most games are overtime games.
Like, I'm not a big hockey guy, but I can get into a Stanley Cup playoff game. You know, not so necessarily a whole series, but like a game, I could definitely get into
it. They are so fantastic. And the reason I brought up Crawford was because he got pulled in game one after allowing 3 goals and 12 shots in the first period. Backup comes in, makes 42 saves, doesn't allow a goal, and the Blackhawks win in double overtime. If Crawford started in game two and the Preds scored 6 goals, I think he's done for the series. I don't know who started game two, but if he started, he may be done for the series.
Maybe.
You can't allow 6 goals.
Or he'll lead him to the Stanley Cup, either way.
Yeah, there's that.
Either way.
All the experts picked him to win the Cup this year, the Blackhawks.
Well, hasn't it been like the Blackhawks and Kings, basically?
Pretty much. They've traded off. There was the Bruins beat the Canucks in their 1 year, but other than that, it's been the Blackhawks and Kings.
That's right. Well, the Bruins won the Cup, I believe, the year of the Boston Marathon bombing.
No, that was last year.
It was 2 years ago.
That was 2 years ago, and that was the Kings' first title. 2 years ago was the Kings. No, that was the Blackhawks.
Blackhawks that year.
Yeah, because then the Blackhawks beat the Bruins in the Cup Finals.
That year.
That year. Okay. The year of the Boston bombing.
Okay.
Because that was like a bad week for Boston because that was the same. No, it wasn't the same week.
No, it wasn't the same week, but.
But that was happening, and then Aaron Hernandez had just been found. Like, they just arrested Aaron Hernandez, and then the Celtics had just traded away Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. And, it was just a bad week for Boston sports.
Poor Boston. Yeah. How about the Aaron Hernandez?
Hey.
Apparently his lawyer, from what I have read and heard, kind of dropped the ball in closing arguments, but he just kind of out of the blue said, oh, yeah, he was there. But he didn't do it.
Yep, because according to Massachusetts, if you're there, you can still you're still charged with murder.
You know, if I'm Aaron Hernandez, what are you doing? Why would you say that?
Yeah. Mistrial.
Goodness.
He can go back and ask for another trial.
Because his own lawyer's a moron? Yeah. Does it work that way? Can you get a mistrial because your lawyer's an idiot?
Well,
you can try.
You can file as many times as you want. I mean.
Yeah, they were talking about what his prison life's going to be. Oh, my. Like, he's in a supermax prison. They said, this isn't about rehabilitation. This is where lifers go.
Yeah.
And they are treated basically like animals.
Well, conveniently, it's like if he steps outside on a Sunday afternoon, you can hear the roars from Gillette. It's that close.
But from what I heard, though, they might be allowed outside one or two times a week if everything lines up. Outside. Like, in their cells 19 hours a day.
He had it all. He had just signed a contract, too.
Had it all. Now not so much.
Yeah. How do you avoid that? Well, you don't kill somebody.
That's a good place to start.
Yeah.
The NFL. If it's not one thing, it's another.
The NFL certainly has had its challenges,
yep,
to say the least.
Kind of in a way, maybe the verdict of the Aaron Hernandez trials, a fitting end, I guess, for lack of a better term, for just an awful train wreck of an NFL season.
Well, and you're waiting for Goodell to come out and announce that Hernandez has been suspended for 2 games. Because you know that's coming.
Well, Peterson did get reinstated this week. So
he did.
Adrian Peterson with the Vikings. Yeah. And, of course, he doesn't want to play for the Vikings.
No, he does not.
But the Vikings hold his contract, so.
NFL players have no leverage.
They have none.
Especially after you've been suspended for an entire year.
Well, yeah. I don't know. To me... If they're willing to take you back, that means you have a job.
Running back specifically.
That's the difference between a star player and a fringe player, though. Yeah. A fringe player is happy to have a job.
Yeah, but he hasn't played for how many years?
Yeah, but Dallas will give up half their team to get him.
Man.
He played the opening game last year.
Well, that's
crushed the Rams.
Yeah. No, he didn't do anything.
Well, that was the year before he crushed the Rams.
Yeah, Cordarrelle Patterson crushed the Rams.
Yeah, the year before he ran for like 300 yards or something ridiculous.
290-something, because the record's like, he set the record 296. It wasn't against the Rams. So he didn't set a record against the Rams, but it was, he may as well have. They didn't stop him. They made a plan to stop him last year, and they let somebody else run all over him.
At least they tried.
Yeah.
At least they tried.
Yeah, 42-6.
Interesting news out of the Big Ten this week. There had been kind of some rumors about this over the last several months, but this week Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney, he flat out came out and said making freshmen ineligible in college football and basketball could help the imbalance between athletics and academics. Sounds nice in theory.
Well, and this is, you know, this was the way it used to be prior to the early 70s.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the way it used to be. And then, of course, the NCAA allowed it to happen. And the thing of it is, it's trying to put the genie back in the bottle. I'm not so sure you can do that. In theory, it sounds good. But how do you deny a young person from making a living?
Well, that's just it. If people have a problem, some people really have a problem with the age limit in the NBA for that reason. In some ways, this is worse.
Yeah.
Well, would they be going directly from high school? You know, how
because
would
at least now they're able to work on their craft.
Sure.
Competitively, when they have to go to their year to college before they can go to the NBA, mm-hmm. at least they can play and work on their craft. If they can't go to the NBA right out of high school, can't play in college right out of high school, they're just going to go to Europe.
And the NBA loses their talent.
Yeah.
Well, because they would come back then when they were eligible. College would lose their talent.
College would lose its talent.
College would suffer dramatically in basketball.
I don't know. I bet the European leagues would pay these guys big money to stay
put. Over there?
Yeah.
And some probably
and challenge
some would
the
stay.
NBA for superiority in the world.
I bet the European hopes
I'm sure they did. European basketball is not quite the NBA standard, but it's not bad.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Well, it's gotten a lot better since the Dream Team in 92 and all that.
Yeah.
So. But if you're the Big Ten, you can't be if you do this. You can't be the only major conference that does it.
Oh,
you'll
no.
be crushed.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You'll never get
every
any
stride
athlete.
That you have made to expand to get into the major markets on the East Coast to expand West. Everything you will have done will be for naught.
You'll have the smartest team that no one cares about.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense because they just built their reputation back up. They've had a terrible last couple of years. Finally, you win the first ever national championship playoff for football. You have two teams in the Final Four for basketball. One of them gets to the championship game and plays a good game against Duke. And now you're going to bring that all down?
Well, right. Well, and Delaney says that he believes the so-called year of readiness would be beneficial, quote, at the critical moment in the evolution of intercollegiate athletics. I would say that the 17, 18, 19-year-old kids now are more equipped than they've ever been with traveling teams, the media scrutiny. We're talking about the blue-chip top athletes, the best of the best. They play how many summer games with AAU, mm-hmm. traveling mm-hmm. around the country. They're getting adapted to that type of lifestyle. It's not 1965.
Shouldn't the scrutiny beyond the NCAA and how they handle athletes and what's allowed and what's not allowed as far as, you know, they can't have jobs and you know, they're basically, some of them.
You can't buy them a pizza if they don't have any money and they're hungry.
Yeah, you know.
Can't give them shelter if they're homeless.
Somehow I think there are more pertinent issues to deal with in college athletics than that.
Yeah.
Just my opinion. If you've got game, you ought to be allowed to play the game.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, life's about multitasking, so why not learn, as a freshman your first year on campus, how to balance playing and balance your academics?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
you're supposed to be,
tough,
it's life.
Yeah. So
I tell you, as an Ohio State fan, it's interesting because if this were in effect this year, they never would have won the national championship for football because JT Barrett was a true freshman.
Hmm.
He led them to their I think it was 10-1 regular season.
Hmm. And you know, I could see it being more viable for football because I don't feel like there's a lot of true freshmen that are playing college football. You get a lot more red shirts, you know, a lot more sophomores, juniors, seniors in college football. So it might be more viable for college football. I still don't think it would ever happen necessarily, but I don't see how you could possibly even consider it for college basketball. I don't see how anyone could think that's a good idea that would even possibly work.
Well, first and foremost, what would the NCAA say to Jim Delaney about, you know, good ratings with the Final Four and the NCAA tournament and all this sort of stuff? Like, what are you doing, dude?
I just think if it's check clears.
You know, why are you saying stuff like this? Yeah. You know, things are going well. You don't fix it if it's not broken.
Maybe Bo Ryan got in his ear.
Well, you never know.
He could also just be sticking up for Bo Ryan.
Could be.
This could just be empty talk.
I mean, it's definitely, I guess, in some ways, good PR.
Yeah,
for the Big Ten, because they always, you know, the Big Ten likes to really pump themselves up as academics first. Mm-hmm. You know, the Big Ten schools, no one can say that the Big Ten schools aren't good academic institutions, because they are. But at the end of the day, it's big business.
Yep.
It's big business. And if Illinois could get three freshmen like Duke had this year, or like freshmen like Kentucky had the last couple of years, they would get them, and they would be happy to welcome them on campus and make them part of the Illini family for however long they choose to be there, whether it be 3 months or 2 years.
They would expedite the rebuilding of the State Farm Center and have it done
quickly
for this coming basketball season. Yeah. They'd work 24/7. Yeah. Hey, we got these three guys coming in, guys.
Would the Big Ten feel differently if Michigan State would have landed Jabari Parker? Would they feel differently if Illinois was getting the top players out of Chicago, or if Wisconsin was getting some of these top one does? Because when you look at it, the Big Ten does not – they're the major conference that doesn't really get the one-and-done players if you look at it.
Yeah.
The other conferences get a lot of them. The Big Ten, they don't get them. So that, to me, probably has a lot to do with what they're saying here. They don't like it because they don't get the big-time one-and-done players. At least they haven't to this point.
Except for Ohio State.
Ohio State has gotten some of them.
They're the one school who has.
It would be the exception to the rule.
Yeah.
And Michigan's gotten a few, but you look at Michigan State, which has been the preeminent program in the Big Ten. They've got a big-time recruit coming in now this year. Not sure of his name, but one of the top players. But they don't normally get the elite blue chip 1-2 years and off.
They've had
to the NBA. Doesn't get.
You know, Izzo is the kind of guy that wants guys that plug into his system.
But he recruits those guys.
Oh,
he just hasn't been able to land them yet.
Right.
But if Michigan State, your top program, is landing one and dones, the commissioner of your league's not talking like this. But since no one in the Big Ten gets them, hey, this is a good idea.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Sort of crying over spilled milk, perhaps?
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, they had said it before.
Yeah.
But...
oh, this comes up every once in a while.
Yeah. I just don't know if it's not practical this day and age to me.
No. The genie's out. Yeah. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. I'm sorry. It just isn't going to happen.
Well, there's also been talk about adapting what Major League Baseball has done and letting guys go pro after high school. But if you choose college, they have to go at least 2 years.
That's a pretty good way to go.
Yeah,
that's a viable solution there.
I think so too.
So,
because if a kid wants to go, let him go.
Sure.
And then if he doesn't get drafted, that's on him.
Yeah. And if he goes to college, at least you can help him get some sort of degree.
And I know they've pushed the deadline back to where you have to declare, but maybe they should just change the rule entirely, and a kid could change his mind after the draft.
Well,
maybe you get drafted at the end of the second round, or you don't get drafted at all, and you think, oh, that was a mistake. I'm going to go to college now.
That's what baseball does.
Why not? In baseball, you can do it.
Yeah.
Why couldn't the NBA do that? Because, as a kid in high school, I can play in the NBA. I want to be a first-round pick. And then when you're not, you can go to college.
Problem is the NBA draft is so small. There's only two rounds. They'd have to expand it.
Which makes it even more strange that so many high school kids want to go straight into the league when there's such a limited number of draft spots.
Well, each kid thinks they're the next greatest thing.
Since sliced bread?
Yep.
Michael Jordan.
That's right. Or LeBron.
Or LeBron.
Did you see ESPN had a 30 for 30 called Soul Man on Sonny Vaccaro, basically the guy who built Nike.
Mm-mm.
Built the Nike shoe brand. He's the one who signed Jordan. Then he got canned from Nike because he was too big. Got Kobe to Adidas. Got Tracy McGrady to Adidas. And then basically was the guy who discovered LeBron James as a freshman in high school. It was very interesting how that all works out.
I thought LeBron was Nike.
He is Nike. You have to watch the movie, David.
Okay. I'm sorry.
It's still a sore spot for Sonny Vaccaro.
Ah.
But it's just very interesting how it really changed at that point with shoes becoming the driving force to where kids were going to go to college. Is it a Nike? If it's not a Nike school, I'm not going.
I think Michael Jordan makes more money off of Nike than anyone at Nike working.
Well, that's right. They put up a number. In the first year of the Air Jordans, that made 180% more money, I think, than the entire Nike operation had made the previous year. So it was something ridiculous.
Yeah.
Transformation. We need a break. We'll be back on Sports Saturday following these messages.
Cardinals baseball coming up 12:20 today as the Cardinals meet the Reds. 1220 on WSMI AM 1540. Good win for the Redbirds.
Be a good year for
last night. So
yes.
Back on Sports Saturday.
Going to be a good year, it looks like.
Yeah.
For the Cardinales.
Well.
Off to a nice start.
6-3. Back in first place.
That first week of the season was so disjointed, you know, with all the off days and the rain out, only playing two. They were in Chicago for 5 days and played two games.
Yeah.
So, you know, baseball is all about rhythm and those types of things. So it looks like they've into a bit of a groove now.
Yeah.
And I think it pleases the fans as well.
Stadium was loud last night when Yadi got that hit.
Yes, it was.
It was loud before he got that hit. As soon as they intentionally walked him and Yadi intentionally walked Jay and Yadi stepped up, the crowd was ready. They wanted it.
It's like, I know Jay kills Cueto, and it sets up a double play, but I don't know. I don't know if I want to bring Yadi up to the plate in that situation. He
knowing
gets
the history,
so many big hits.
Knowing the history of the Reds and Cueto and Molina, was that really a smart thing to do?
I think it probably was, just because
percentage. I mean, he is a double play candidate. Yeah,
he
you're
is,
right about that.
And Yadi has been off to such a slow start that – I mean, the chance that he was going to hit a grounder was very high. So it just happened that he swung at the first pitch and lined it down the left
and just
line.
Because the result doesn't go your way doesn't mean it was a bad decision.
Yeah, true.
But I thought to myself at the time, though, it's like, you know, I don't care how good John Jay is against Cueto. I think I might take my chances.
Yeah.
But there was only one out. If you get him out, you still got to deal with Yadi anyway. But then maybe you can walk Yadi.
Yeah.
To me, Yadi, he's so clutch. I mean, the guy is just so flat out clutch. When they need a big hit, he comes through. More times than not.
Well, and what's amazing is Yadi's been off to a slow start, but the fact that other guys like Holiday and Peralta have been off to great starts, because those are guys that are typically almost useless in April. I mean, they
don't hit much generally, no.
They don't do anything ever in the month of April. And then here Holiday is hitting like 350. Peralta's doing the same. Carpenter's almost near 400.
He's on fire.
Maybe Carpenter's back to his old way. And they're getting extra base hits, something nobody's talking about. Last year, you know, they were just hitting singles. They're hitting doubles this time.
I think Carpenter's already got like five doubles in the year.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the key. Extra base hits. You don't need the power. You don't need home runs. Because that's the thing, in 2013, they didn't hit a lot of home runs.
Right.
They hit a bunch of doubles.
In a lot of ways, a double to me is better than a home run. If you got a guy on second, you can just keep trading places.
Home runs are rally killers.
There you go.
Yeah.
Keep the line moving, as John Rooney would say.
Yes, yes.
Keep the line moving. We talked about it yesterday during the high school broadcast with Greenville. Historically, you know, they've over the years have had some big thumpers in the middle. But I think a lot of times in high school, power can be overrated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Greenville this year, they just got a lot of tough outs. You know, not necessarily anybody's going to crush the ball 400 feet, but they're all going to put a great at bat on you. And that's what the Cardinals can do, especially, you know, Carpenter sets the tone. They're not going to hit it out of the park, like you said, David. But next thing you know, you look up in the sixth inning, the starter's at 100 pitches.
Yeah.
And it seems that when the Cardinals are going well, and maybe this is true of all teams, but the Cardinals in particular, because they're not a power team, they don't mind hitting with an 0-2 count or a 1-2 count. They, you know, that doesn't really, when they're going well, it's just another pitch.
And in the era of baseball where no one seems to shorten up with two strikes,
the
Cardinals really do have a very good two-strike approach.
Well, it seems to be a lot better this year than it was.
Yeah.
You know, they don't mind going the other way, going with the pitch.
My concern with the Cardinals' offense is just simply the cleanup spot. It was a problem last year, and right now their cleanup man is a single hitter.
Yeah.
Matt Adams is a 320-pound single hitter. That's what he is. That's what he's proven to be over his time in the big leagues.
He's off to a slow start this season. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt for right now, just because it is the second or third week.
But I'm even thinking back to last year. Like, we always think about the big home run he hit off Clayton Kershaw in the playoffs. That's fine. That's one swing. That's one swing.
He did pretty good last year hitting extra bases. I mean, he did only hit about, 17 home runs. But for the most part, he had a really hot stretch.
He had a hot stretch. But to me, his approach is more of like a six-hole hitter.
Yeah,
like he looks like the prototypical first baseman, cleanup, pure
power
slugger.
Guy. Yeah,
but I don't think that's what he is.
His approach,
you know, because he doesn't want to just jerk the ball to right field. He'll hit it where it's pitched, which isn't a bad thing.
Yeah.
But in the cleanup spot, you don't need singles.
In the minors, he only ever topped out at I think 32 home runs. He was a 330 hitter.
Yeah,
was a catcher, drafted as a catcher. Can you imagine
big dude
that
for a catcher?
That's a big catcher.
And he wasn't any smaller when he was drafted. I don't think he may have been bigger because he did lose weight since he's been with the Cardinals.
So the opposition says, "I have to slide into that guy at home."
No thanks. Yeah. No thanks. Take you half a day to get around him.
Sure. Carpenter had a good slide yesterday, avoiding. Well, if you want to call it a slide.
A slide or a somersault?
Yeah, more of a somersault.
More of an acrobatic move. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Willie Mays Hayes, yeah. Went up and over. This didn't hurt himself.
Right. It didn't run into the catcher, so no penalty.
But you look at last year with the Cardinals offense, and Alan Craig batted cleanup for most of the year and did nothing. This year, why not put Peralta in the cleanup spot? See what happens.
Yeah. And we talked about this a little bit off air. I think the concern for Matheny is right now he's trying to separate the lefties as much as possible just because he's got so many in the lineup. He may insert Peralta every day in the cleanup spot or even a Holiday because he's going to have to do something.
But it's like, yeah, you're right. Because between
Adams.
Craig last year and Adams this year, the cleanup average is probably about around the Mendoza line, in all seriousness.
Yeah.
That's no good.
Well, they've been batting Peralta cleanup against lefties.
Every once in a while, right.
Yeah. Against righties now is when they're keeping Adams in cleanup.
The great thing about baseball is making, like, the great overreaction just after a few handful of games. Like, Chris Bryant, he's a bum. 0 for 4, 3 strikeouts. Yep. He's a bum. You know, if he would have gone 4 for 4 yesterday with 4 home runs, well, he's Hank Aaron or he's Willie Mays. You know, that's just the beauty of baseball. But from the Cardinal perspective, Mark Reynolds seems to be a little bit hot right now.
He's playing well,
you know.
Surprisingly,
why not ride that train and run him out there?
I've thought about that, yeah.
Like, cause what really has Matt Adams done to deserve all the opportunity? He was good in the minor leagues. He's come through the organization, but what at the big league level? What has he really done to warrant hitting cleanup, batting 160? What has he done?
He did carry your team into the 20. I don't want to say carry your team. He did a very, very, very good job of replacing Alan Craig in 2013 when Craig was having a MVP season.
He did a nice job.
Yeah, and got him into the postseason. Didn't get him into the postseason. They were already in the postseason, but got them without choking.
Right,
filling in first
and
base
he's,
spot.
And let's give him some credit. He's a pretty good first base.
Oh, he is.
Oh, yeah.
He is. I'm just saying I don't think he should be batting cleanup.
Yeah.
That's my hope.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I think when he bats cleanup, it kills, you know, it keeps him from getting big explosive innings because instead of the cleanup guy gapping it, he's hitting a single to left field.
Traditionally, the cleanup guy's your masher.
Yes. Yeah. That's my only point. I like Matt Adams. I think he's a good ball player.
But to me, he
can't be the cleanup guy right now.
They batted him cleanup last year because he was so hot. Because he was hitting so – he was the only one last year at the point where he was actually getting extra base hits and hitting the ball. So they're like, we got to move this guy up. And they moved him up to third and put Holiday fourth.
I know how to get David.
What's that?
Mike Matheny had no problem dropping Colton Wong from the top of the order to the bottom of the order after one bad game.
I know.
But yet Matt Adams can struggle for weeks on end and stay in the cleanup hole.
It's inexplicable, to be honest, because although Colton Wong is only hitting .214, you know what John Jay is hitting? .200. How many games has John Jay been batting eighth? One. The very first game of the year, Colton Wong was batting seventh. And then Colton Wong, he got no hits in that game, went 0-for-3. John Jay went 2-for-4. After that game, we felt the need to drop Colton Wong back down to eighth because I don't think he's ready to hit in the higher in the order yet. Since then, he's been a better hitter than John Jay.
I don't care what John Jay's numbers are. That guy, he just knows how to hit.
Yeah, which
just knows
him,
how to hit,
which is all the more reason to get him in the eighth spot.
Well, see, for me, that's all the more reason to get Adams out of the cleanup spot because you've got the slap types. You got those guys. You need thump in the middle of the order. Need the thump. Where's the thump?
You could honestly almost at this point bat Adams second.
You know, and that used to be the thing.
Put Pete Cosman at second. He had a good spring. He hits
whoa,
the ball.
Well, let's not get crazy.
Put him in there in that number seven
here.
Or eight spot.
Let's not lose our heads here.
But if Colton Wong struggles.
I think Colton Wong will be fine.
You know, Cosman's a very good backup.
He's proven that.
And he's had some big hits in big games, too.
You just wonder if Colton Wong would be one of those players who just is a bad April player.
Yeah.
There's guys like that to where, you know, there'll be a 15-year major leaguer, yeah, and they'll put out their numbers for April where they're right, just awful, and then May through September, their Hall of Fame numbers. So it's very possible that
the baseball season has lasted 2 weeks.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
2 weeks out of 162 games.
Only 5.5 months to go.
Yes.
Because let's not forget, Wong has had some pretty big hits in pretty big games as well.
Absolutely.
Well, and the bat speed that he generates, you know, he's able to get it over the board.
I'm not worried about Colton Wong.
Yeah.
Wonger.
He needs to be at the top of the lineup. He's just that kind of hitter.
He's young, though.
Yeah.
See, and of course, I think that there's so many different ways to do it. You look at how the Cubs broke Chris Bryant in yesterday, right into the cleanup spot. No, you know, easing him into the situation. You just throw him right into the fire, bat him clean
up. Here's something I know.
But there's only one way to go for that kid, and that's up. Let's face it.
What if he struggles for a week and a half, 2 weeks?
Well, you know, he struggles. They're going to send him back down, probably.
Is that going to be good for him?
But he's probably going to be a pretty good ball player.
Oh, I think he's going to be a very good ball player.
I think most all the scouts agree this kid's probably going to be a pretty darn good ball player. So
he looks like it.
Of all their prospects, he's the one most likely to hit.
Yeah.
He's
always hit. And there's no reason to think he won't hit.
Yeah.
But I was talking to Todd Hutchinson about this yesterday because he told me, I guess, him and Tyler and Ryan, Cubs fans, young Benjamin and Mrs. Hutchinson, Cardinals fans, so he said they learned from their mistakes. But I was just wondering, have the Cubs they almost set this kid up for failure? He's in a no-win situation. The way that he's kind of been hyped and handled here, like when he came up yesterday, everyone was just expecting that he was going to hit two home runs and that he's just going to get off to an Albert Pujols type of start where he just comes up and hits from day one. That rarely happens. Pujols wasn't hyped coming up, so he didn't have the attention, the
pressure.
Pujols
wasn't that high of a draft choice.
No, he came in from day one and just hit and never stopped hitting the whole time he was in the Cardinal uniform. But if Bryant, you know, he goes 0-4 yesterday with 3 Ks, what if he goes 0-4 again today? What if he goes 0-4 for the homestand? You know, just then all of a sudden Cubs fans start to boo. Like, I watched it yesterday. People were booing him after he shook out for the third time. Not a lot, but there was just a smattering of boos. This is no good. He's only been up for one game. He goes from the greatest thing ever to a bum in some fans' minds because of one game. Opposed to, look how the Cardinals handled Taveras last year. Not really the exact same thing, but when they brought him up, they didn't just throw him into the cleanup spot or the top of the order right away. Came off the bench. When he started, he was in the lower third of the order. They tried to manage expectations. Everybody's different. It's just interesting to me that they have basically put the pressure of the 100 and whatever years it is of the Cubs on this kid. They've put it all on this kid.
They also did mishandle the Taveras situation last year. I mean, they did that because the only way you get better is by getting at bats. And they didn't want to send him down because he wasn't learning anything at Memphis, but didn't want to play him either.
Yeah,
I mean,
but you didn't bat cleanup.
Yeah. Well, that's right. The thing with Bryant is, I think you're right. With Cubs fans have built their expectations too high because they're impossible expectations.
It's impossible.
Because I think he's still going to have a really good career. He's still going to have a really good season, but it may never, I mean, unless he goes out and wins the World Series for him this year, it won't be enough.
If he hits 290 in like 23 home runs and 85 RBIs, is that a good year in Cubs fans' minds? It certainly should be, but
you better have
it's not 45 and 130.
You better have 25 home runs by May 1st.
That's right. Yeah. You better have 25 home runs after 23 at-bats, by golly. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more following these messages.
Cardinals baseball today, 12:20 against the Reds on AM 1540, where the Cardinals fly by day. Weather permitting on Monday, high school softball, Mount Olivet Nokomis. Tuesday, high school baseball, weather permitting, Gillespie at Litchfield. And you can check out our broadcast schedule at WSMIRadio.com. And back to Tim and Dave.
Thank you, T. Weather permitting, as always.
You're a farmer, you know. More than anybody.
Weather
as much
permitting,
as anybody.
Yes.
Yeah. Weather permitting.
Always.
Yes.
Cardinals got the night game tomorrow.
Yeah.
The Sunday night game.
Yeah.
Two out of the first three.
And they're home. It seems like whenever they play that Sunday night game, it always seems like they're on the road.
Yeah.
And I believe again this year they get to play the Sunday night game before the All-Star break on the
road. They've done that a lot.
Always. They always get put in that game, which is terrible. They shouldn't even have a Sunday night game the night before the All-Star break. Why?
Well, in 2009, it was kind of a not their fault.
I mean, M-O-N-E-Y.
There you go.
09, it was their All-Star game, and that was they also had a doubleheader that day. So
that's nice.
Yeah.
The doubleheader.
The game got poured out the couple days before.
Mentioned the you wanted to mention, yeah. David. John Lester has a bit of an issue, I guess you could say, throwing over to first base. You know, they're only paying him $155 million.
This is something nobody knew about either.
Which is odd.
Nobody in the public knew about it. Maybe somebody in the Red Sox organization knew about it, but
obviously no one in the Cubs organization knew about it.
Apparently not. I mean, obviously he didn't throw over to first base. I don't think he threw over at all against the Cardinals in the opening game.
He didn't throw over for like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. I think it's 2013 was when he threw over last, which was, you know, that's crazy to think
staggering.
About. And then when he did throw over against the Reds this week, oh my goodness. I can see why he doesn't throw over, but I don't know where it came from.
Got the yips. You know, sometimes catchers can't throw it back to the pitcher. You see sometimes infielders can't get it over to first base. But I don't know that I've ever seen a pitcher that has that type of issue with a pickle.
And obviously something has changed because they mentioned it in the Cardinals broadcast last night. He's I think, in fourth place among pickoffs in the last however many years they were talking about amongst pitchers, all pitchers. So something has changed. I mean,
he used to be able to do it.
Yeah, he used to be able to do it. Now, I mean, we're obviously Rick Ankiel struggled throwing the plate, but still, I mean, this is a Rick Ankiel like problem. Because if you can't throw over to if you can't keep a guy on first base, guys are going to run all over you, and you're not going to last much longer in the league.
In a lot of ways, it's stranger than like the Ankiel thing, or like remember Mark Wohlers for the Braves back in the 90s. He had a similar thing where he couldn't all of a sudden throw it to home. But John Lester, he can throw it to home really, really well. You know, he can paint on the outside corner. He can drop off these nasty breaking balls. He can do that. That's the hard part. Throwing to first is supposed to be easy.
Throw a fastball to first.
You wonder. And you wonder maybe if he should, because like he's just kind of lobbing it over there. Just throw a seed.
Sure. That's all you have to do. I mean, you don't have to throw hard.
But maybe he needs to throw
hard. Oh, maybe he needs to. Well, then that's possible.
Yeah.
But far be it for me to give anybody advice about how to play baseball.
Yeah, nor I. I mean, he's won the $155 million contract. Yeah, but
this is, I mean.
But it does seem extremely odd.
Doesn't it?
And I don't know if I'm exaggerating here, but it seems like this could be something that ends his career.
Well, I think it'll be potentially more of a problem in the National League maybe than the American League.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't get a lot of base stealing necessarily, really, in the American League.
They wait for those three run
homers. With the DH. But in the National League, you know, can he field bunts?
Especially the division he's in. He's going to have to deal with Hamilton now on a regular basis.
Right.
McCutcheon, he's got speed. Starling Marte for the Pirates. You know, Carlos Gomez for the Brewers. Yeah. Now Colton Wong and Peter Borges when they're on base for the Cardinals.
It'll be interesting to watch over the years to see if he makes an adjustment in his age. He's going to have to do something.
Yeah. This is a problem.
But the Cubs are going to win the World Series, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
It's theirs. They were in first place last week.
They were. Well, they were.
I saw a stat. I had to reread it because I didn't believe it. When the Cubs were 2 games over .500 earlier, it was the first time they had been 2 games over .500 since 2009.
Yep. Yeah.
At any point in the year.
Since Lou Piniella.
That's staggering. That's a lot of bad baseball.
Yep.
No wonder Cubs fans have become so frustrated and disgusted in the last number of years.
And it's been a year of transition.
It has been.
Management is doing different things with the ballpark, with other things, and people don't like change. Mm-hmm. Humans don't like change.
No, but you would figure, though, even in a two-week period at the start of the year, you'd at least get 2 games over .500 in a 5-year period. You would think. Guess not.
The pitching was really well, but they couldn't score runs, and then the offense got better, and they couldn't hold leads. Everything went wrong.
Hopefully the weather will cooperate over the weekend, and we'll be able to get you high school baseball on the radio this week. And then the Montgomery County Baseball Tournament a week from today. We'll have all the action beginning 10 o'clock right here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. Sports Saturday is done. I am Tim for David and T. We are out on Sports Saturday.